The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
And now joining us, we have Damian Woody. I think he knows a thing or two about what it takes to make it on the offensive line. So, Damian, welcome to the discussion.
Well, you know, Ty.
Hold on. A thing or two.
Yeah, no tie.
No tie. And no jacket. And no jacket. And no jacket.
Check out that blue, Stephen A. Check out that blue. It looks very nice.
I don't give a damn about his blue, Charlie. You understand what I'm saying? Him and his Christmas blue shirt on. I mean, please. Where's your jacket at least, man?
Hey, I'm on here looking crispy,
because it's
brother.
Bright.
Come on now, don't hate me.
I'll deal with you later, man. I'll deal with you later, bro.
Okay, Quentin Nelson, he will be guarding new Colts quarterback Phillip Rivers, which is still very odd to say if you ask me. But, Max, what do you think Phillip Rivers is going to be able to do for the Colts this season?
I don't know. If he's an upgrade over Brissett, I guess so. He's familiar with what they're doing, and he spent most of his career as an excellent, excellent quarterback, but he won last year. It's not like I've never seen him take dips in his career and then recover, but at his age, I don't think you can just assume he's going to recover and be a great player again. I think once upon a time he was a great player. I had high hopes for Phillip Rivers a couple of years ago when they traveled to Foxborough. He looked like a deer in headlights, and then last year it was no good at all. So let's say people are right and he fits well and everything, and he's better than Brissett. And the Colts improve, but by how much exactly do you think? By a game? Are they 8-8 next year? Something like that? Yeah, maybe. Quentin Nelson, I agree. Like, when you look at that draft, who's the best player in that draft? I think Saquon Barkley was the best running back prospect ever. And when you consider his size, everything he could do, and the rookie season he had, he had a little bit banged up last year, and he still has a chance to be an all-time great and the best we've ever seen, right? You still can't say he's the best player in that draft. You know, there are lots of Minkah Fitzpatrick and others, lots of good players, but Quentin Nelson is as good at least as anyone in that draft. He is a beast, a whole lot of right out the gate, and well worth the investment in draft capital. And Phillip Rivers, you know, 5 years ago, yeah, I'd say, whoa, you got to look at the Colts as Super Bowl contenders. I don't see this guy as that, and I don't see them as Super Bowl contenders.
Well, for me, I think they would be Super Bowl contenders if they had better selections at the quarterback position. I think when you look at Phillip Rivers, he did complete 66% of his passes last year. Now, he threw 20 interceptions, and we understand that. But he completed 66% of his passes last year. Here's my problem with Phillip Rivers being a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. He's a stationary target. He's just as slow as Tom Brady. He's not running anywhere. He's not scrambling. He's a stationary target. If you look at guys that have to deal with Brissett, they knew he could run with the football as well as throw it. Now, he couldn't throw it as beautifully as Rivers has, even though I think that he's improved. Nevertheless, he could run with the football. And in this day and age, as great as Patrick Mahomes is throwing the football, you also know he's a threat to scramble with it. We know what Lamar Jackson brings to the table in terms of his scrambling ability. Deshaun Watson, we know what he can bring to the table in terms of his scrambling ability. Unless you're Big Ben and you have the uncanny ability to ward off tacklers extending plays as opposed to actually scrambling, then I think it's a detriment to an offense to have a stationary target as your at your quarterback position. Now, he's got some good receivers. You got Paris Campbell. You got Ty Hilton, who's an absolute stud. We all know that. You got Michael Pittman there now. Okay, you got Jack Doyle as your tight end. Marlon Mack can't be ignored coming out of that backfield, running the football for you. He had a pretty good season last year. So they've got a multitude of weapons, and their offensive line is stud-ish. We know what Quentin Nelson brings to the table in that regard, and we know how lethal they can be. But in the end, if opposing defenses get to salivate at the fact that they don't have to worry about a quarterback scrambling, that they can get all up in him, that he's no threat to run the football with the football whatsoever, then I think that's going to be a tremendous talent challenge for Frank Reich to maximize or to take advantage of or to, you know, just to deal with per se. And I think as a result, that leaves Indy on the outside looking in. It's not because of the talent surrounding Phillip Rivers. I just think in this day and age, you cannot be a stationary target at the quarterback position unless you're Tom Brady and you're getting rid of the football inside of 2 seconds.
Well, listen, I think any team from the AFC is going to have a hard time getting past the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Make no mistake about it. But I do think the Indianapolis Colts can win the AFC South, and here's why. When you look at Phillip Rivers, some of his best years when he was with the Los Angeles Chargers was when with Frank Wright being his offensive coordinator. And I think that synergy that they had in that Chargers offense, I think that's going to carry over to the Indianapolis Colts. Listen, I love the way how the Colts are built. They have one of, if not the best offensive lines in the National Football League, led by Quentin Nelson. They have two stud running backs in their backfield with Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor. They drafted out of Wisconsin in the first round this year. They got a couple really good tight ends, and the wide receiver position is pretty good as well. So when you look at Phillip Rivers, listen, he's not Michael Vick out there. I think we all know that. But Phillip Rivers can be deadly with his arm and his accuracy passing the football. Now, listen, last year he had 20 interceptions. Usually I would say a 38-year-old with 20 interceptions, they're done. But I think just being in that offense with Frank Wright as the head coach, the way they're built offensively, I think definitely the Indianapolis Colts can win the AFC South. And beyond that, who knows? But any team is going to have a hard time trying to get out of the AFC with Kansas City and Baltimore in that conference.
Well, Damian, thank you so much.
The fans wanted him benched halfway through last season, guys. He ain't getting any younger. Go ahead. Sorry, Charlie.
No, I was gonna say thank you to Damian for having a little bit of faith in my Colts. I mean, it's been a rough patch. We need to get through this. So thank you for that. And now, you know, because Quentin Nelson is our number 11 primetime player, I have a little trivia question for you gentlemen. So Pro Football Focus ranked Quentin Nelson as the second best player to start this season who's under the age of 25. So I ask you, who is the first?
Who are we going to?
Well, Lamar. Any guesses?
Patrick Mahomes.
Just throw him
Lamar
out
Jackson
there.
Under 25? Well, is Lamar Jackson under 25?
Who said Mahomes?
Yeah.
Me. I did.
Damian, you got it right. You're the winner. Congratulations.
Mahomes is the best quarterback under 100, meaning like every quarterback who ever played, he's better than all those
dudes. It was a trivia question. You can't argue with me, okay?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And the seventh-seeded Nets fell to Dame Dala and the Blazers last night, but Caris LeVert could give Brooklyn fans a little bit of hope as they enter the first round against the Raptors. With the absences of Kyrie Irving and Spencer Dinwiddie, LeVert has stepped up in a big way during the restart. LeVert has the fourth highest usage rate in the league behind only Devin Booker, Giannis, and Luka Doncic. And now ESPN NBA analyst David Fizdale joining us for the discussion. All right, next year, the Nets have even more hope as KD will return, Kyrie Irving will return. So, Stephen A. Smith, I got to ask you, are the Nets destined for the NBA Finals next season?
I believe they are. I really, really do. Because, I mean, obviously the Greek Freak and, you know, it could be standing in their way. Toronto is never a team led by Masai Ujiri that you can underestimate. But when you look at the way that these guys have been performing, particularly in the bubble, when you look at Caris LeVert and what he brings to the table, let's take into account what they don't have at their disposal. They don't have Kyrie Irving. They don't have Kevin Durant. They don't have Spencer Dinwiddie. They don't have Taurean Prince. They don't have DeAndre Jordan. I mean, my God. And still, they go out there and have competed the way that they have competed. They have shooters, they have scorers, they play hard, they play together, they do what they can. And this is without not one, not two, but four or five different guys that could potentially start for them. And so when I look at that and I think about the Eastern Conference and I think about the greatness of Kevin Durant, because make no mistake, he's great. He's one of the top scorers in the history of the game of basketball. Kyrie Irving is an absolute showman. This brother will put on a show for anybody. You can contemplate what he might take away or whatever the case may be. But when you look at the talent that they have on their squad, I can't say enough about the job that Sean Marks has done as the executive for this team, GM, because if you think about it, the collection of talent, they had eight different guys averaging double figures for them this season, period. You cannot ignore that. The Brooklyn Nets are clearly coming, and one would argue they have arrived the moment Kevin Durant steps on the court healthy.
Well, that depends on Kyrie Irving, Stephen A. You know, we were asked to come up with one word to describe Kyrie last year or months ago, and my word is radioactive. Because radioactivity, boy, that's powerful, but you got to harness it or it can be destructive. Kyrie Irving, there's no way around it. Like you mentioned, eight different guys in double figures. Not with Kyrie playing point guard. That's not going to happen. Kyrie Irving has won a championship and has played great under pressure in the biggest moments. He's been great, and he is a champion. That was with LeBron James, who's like a master at team chemistry in the sense that he can lead a group of guys to the promised land or pretty close to it. You know, he understands how to make that work. But before LeBron got there, Kyrie didn't do anything. And after LeBron left, what happened? And when Kyrie went to Boston, you could say the same thing. Everything you just said about the Nets, you could have said about the Celtics. When Kyrie wasn't there, and then when he got there, they didn't do any better. In fact, they did worse, and then he got hurt, and then suddenly they did better again. And then he come back. You swap him out for a guy who does a lot of what he does but isn't bad in the locker room, and they do better again. And so the question, by the way, did the Nets do great when Kyrie was there? He put on a show, no doubt, because I would argue he's the most skillful player who ever lived. When you think about what Kyrie can do on offense, what's the weakness in his game? I'm not talking about the wisdom to know when to apply everything. I mean the actual tangible skills. His handles are as good at least as anyone who ever lived. He finishes in the paint below the rim as good as anyone ever lived. He can shoot the lights out. He can pass the ball when he chooses. All those things. And he can kill you in the clutch. So why are his teams getting worse? The Nets have an excellent thing going. You can see LeVert is a baller. You can see they're well coached and they try hard. They're not a demoralized team. Can Kyrie, if KD and Kyrie come back, can Kyrie help lead that group and put his own ego aside when he needs to or use it to lead the group? Or will he be a destructive force? That's what it's going to come down to. If he can harness that radioactivity, that's a nuclear power. If not, they will self-destruct next year.
Well, you know, I think one thing about it is that Kyrie Irving disrupted a Boston team that didn't have a guy like KD on it. But when he has played next to a superstar, good things have happened for him. So I think this situation is going to spell out ultimately if these guys can stay healthy. If they can all stay healthy and stay together, I agree. I think that the Nets really have a great chance of playing in the NBA Finals. I think that's really what it's going to come down to, because the offensive firepower on the team, that you know, the speed that they have, the playmaking, the spacing, they got two legit defensive lob threat bigs. I really think that they're going to be a tough team to deal with. And you talk about winning championships, they got two guys that's experienced that. And so, you know, with that at the bookends, and all of those guys being hungry to play, I think they're going to be a really dangerous, dangerous team for making the finals.
I also think one of the things that we all have to pay attention to is that it's not just about, you know, we could talk about the radioactivity with Kyrie Irving. Let's remember he's a champion. And let's remember that this is a brother that in two NBA finals when he was healthy, he averaged 27 in one and 29 in another. Kyrie Irving is the truth and a half. And I know you're not saying otherwise, Max. I'm just saying that when you compare it to Boston, remember, Boston didn't have the depth that the Brooklyn Nets appeared to have. Right. That's number one. Number two, when you pay attention to the Brooklyn Nets, understand sometimes we look at guys and their talent and what they bring to the table. We don't pay attention to what's required to beat them. For example, they lose a game last night to Portland. Do you know why they lost to Portland? Because as Garrett Temple was telling his teammate, I don't give a damn if Michael Jordan is standing in the corner. Leave him alone. Guard Damian Lillard, because this brother's going to pull up from the parking lot, okay? What I'm saying to you is that it takes that. And so as a result, they were willing to leave a Grant open. They were willing to leave a Melo open. They were willing to lay off a C.J. McCollum with his back issues to some degree, et cetera, et cetera. If you're not going against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who do you really have to worry about in the NBA that is going to shoot you out of a game the way that Portland or Golden State could potentially do so? So if you're the Brooklyn Nets, you don't really have to employ that level. Correct me if I'm wrong, Coach, because you're the coach. You would know better than me. But you don't really have to do what they did last night, to rely on those big guards, those sizable forwards that have athleticism and the speed to get out and defend perimeter shots and what have you. Most teams can't do what Portland did to them last night. Most teams can't do what Golden State, when Steph and Klay are healthy, could do to you every night. And as a result, I think that's why Brooklyn is going to be lethal, because they got a whole bunch of dudes that can do some things ahead, with Coach. Kevin Durant as the ringleader.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, they got a ton of speed. You know, with Kevin Durant and Kyrie, they have their own two guys that can do exactly what you're talking about out of Dame and Golden State and teams like that. So not only do they have the speed to cover a lot of ground and be able to guard you in unique ways, you're going to have that same onslaught coming back at you that you can't make a mistake, because Kyrie is that kind of guy that you're talking about. He'll raise from anywhere. He can get it going. He can drop 50 on you. We know what KD can do. So with that in mind, you know that you can go out and be reckless and aggressive and try to take out the best player on the other team, because now the numbers just won't match up.
I mean, assuming that KD comes back as some close approximation of his former self. That almost never happens given the injury he has. But also, Stephen A., in terms of depth, if that was true on the Celtics, why did they not lose a beat and even get better without Kyrie? That's what I'm saying. I'm not disputing anything you're saying about him as a player. I'm talking about the destructive force he's had on team chemistry. And that's what he's got. Kyrie, I don't think he's done winning championships. But he's got to figure that out with himself. He's got to get right so that in the locker room, he can help, not just on the court, lead a group of guys, make them better than they would be without him.
That's why KD is there. That's why KD is there, like the coach said.
Yep. KD balances it out. I think that's what Kyrie has always needed. He needed somebody there that is as good, if not better than him, on some nights. And that gives Kyrie balance, I think. And, you know, he didn't have that in Boston. And Boston was talented. Don't get me wrong. That team was a good team, playoff team, a lot of young talent. But he didn't have that counterbalance in a guy over there that he looked at and said, okay, this guy, I got to look at him and respect him on the same level as I look at myself. And I think KD brings that in with his credibility and his championship pedigree, just as LeBron did in Cleveland. So I think it's going to be fun to watch them come together. That team is going to, just every night watching them offensively is going to be a treat for everyone, because they're going to be bombing. They're going to be playing fast. They're going to be putting up some historic numbers, I think.
All right. Yeah, I definitely think that adding those two superstars next season will be huge for the Nets. But Stephen A., like you mentioned, they still have a lot of things to be proud of this season. In the bubble, they've posted a points per game number of 119.9, which is the fifth highest in the league in that span. So that is something to be proud of. But we have another topic that we do need to move on to, and we're going to stay in the Eastern Conference for this. It's some big news coming out of Chicago this morning, and that is that the Bulls announcing that Jim Boylan has been relieved of his duties as head coach of the team. So, David, I'm going to start with you here. I want to know your reaction to this news. And also, are you maybe interested in the position? Oh.
Say that again.
Oh, I said I want your reaction to the news. Jim Boylan out as the Bulls head coach after just two seasons. And then I asked, you know, maybe you might be the next man up. What do you think?
I'm not even thinking about that.
Well,
what's
can
your
I
reaction?
Step in, please? May I step
yes,
in?
Yes, absolutely.
Let
coach,
me step in.
You're not thinking about an open head coaching job in a major market when you're one of the most qualified candidates?
You see, I'm in my Bob Ross t-shirt. I got a son on the way. I'm not, you know, it's a stressful business, man, and you got to really be prepared to even think in those terms. And, you know, honestly, that was, I just actually heard about it this morning from you guys, from the producers. So, you know,
well, first
no,
of all,
and I know Jim.
Not on
I
your mind
Jim.
Right now.
Nah, I worked with Jim. I feel for him. You know, it's not easy. I just obviously going through it myself. So, nah, not yet.
Well, first of all, I asked to step in for a reason before I was so rudely interrupted, because I did not want Coach to answer that question, because I wanted to answer it for him. Hell no. That is not a job you want. Stay away from the job, okay? Zach LaVine can ball. Markkanen can ball. But they don't have a lot of talent. The organization, too many question marks. The Last Dance with Michael Jordan didn't help the organization's reputation. Gar Forman and those boys are going, nobody needs to touch that job right now. Sorry. That's a purgatory. That's a cesspool. They need to clean it up. And since I've known David Fizdale for years, I'm going to speak up for him. Hell no. Don't go nowhere near that job. You're better
David,
off being
Stephen
an assistant
a new agent.
Or getting a job somewhere else than taking the Chicago Bulls job. Not to mention the fact nobody wants to be there from November to March because it's too damn cold. And you spent years in South Beach. You know what I'm
pretty
saying.
Hot in the summer,
stay
too.
The hell away from that job. Very simple.
I can't argue
Max,
with that.
What's your reaction?
He knows.
Yeah, my reaction is when you see executives bounced, whoever the next person is going to get their own coach anyway. Of course they're going to make coaching changes. Chicago's been dysfunctional for a long time now. I agree with Stephen A. about that. It's a dysfunctional situation. And usually a fish rots from the head down. If the organization is bad from the head down, there's only so much a coach can do. And we've seen this with the Knicks even, that right now it seems that they have some better people in place, more attractive to players, and maybe they're going to try and build a healthy culture, but with Jim Dolan there, I doubt it will work long term. So I agree with Stephen A. about toxic franchises and the prudence of good coaches who have brands where fans look at them and go, yeah, I'd like that guy to be my coach, being careful with what jobs they take. And I think, Coach Fizz, you fall into that category.
Well, I appreciate that. But I just think, you know, for me right now, I'm one of those corny guys that's like coach's fraternity and really care about the guy that's next to him and understand and empathize with him. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you see me, I got on my Bob Ross t-shirt. And my wife is pregnant with our first son together. And, you know, I'm not even thinking in those terms personally. I'm know, more I got to reach out to Jim Boylan and check on him and make sure everything is good with him. I think the Bulls ultimately will get it together. They got some good young pieces over there, a lot of young talent. It is cold as hell in the winter. But at the end of the day, if you're a baller and you can put together a good team, which they have in the past, you know, it's always nice when Chicago's a good team.
Yeah.
Okay, anytime somebody succeeds in Chicago, you got to give credit where credit is due, because it takes them about a month to thaw out, for crying out loud. That's how damn cold it is during basketball season in Chicago. Okay? Brothers got
humidity
options.
Off the lake.
At least they have really good pizza.
It ain't what it used to be. They got options, and they ain't trying
out.
To live in the North Pole, a.k.a. Chicago. They ain't trying to do it.
Well, look, I have a whole list of stats right now of what Jim Boylan, I will say, was not able to accomplish during his two seasons in Chicago.
He won 31%
I will leave
of his
you.
Games.
His longest winning streak last season was 2 games, so I'll just leave you with that. It's not pretty. And
back to
and
back.
That's that. David, thank you so much for your time.
Coach,
unfortunately, we now know you're not up for this job, but I think Stephen A. might be a good option as your agent. He seems very interested.
I got to call Steven after this. Maybe he can do some stuff for me.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You better let somebody come up in there and see him. You understand what I'm saying to you? You could let a wife or a girlfriend come. Just one, bro. Just one. It will go a long way.
Stephen A., are you advocating for conjugal visits in the bubble?
Since you asked the question, yes. 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 Yes.
Yep, the bubble creates some serious struggles, and I cannot wait to hear Stephen A. react to this one. So get this, during a normal year at NFL training camp, players are usually forbidden from hosting visitors in hotels or dorms, and you know, during a pandemic, it's no exception. And one Seahawks rookie, he learned the hard way. The Seahawks waived rookie cornerback Kima Sivarand earlier this week after he was caught on video trying to sneak a woman into the team hotel. And there are some really ridiculous details that go along with this story, but I want to get your reaction before we get into those. Damian Woody back here with us. Stephen A., no question. I just want your reaction here.
Well, first of all, I think it's just important that If there was ever a reason to be forgiving for about somebody and their transgressions, this would qualify. I mean, let's not be hard on the brother, okay? I mean, let's understand that the NFL has engaged in cruel and unusual punishment, just like the NBA has engaged in cruel and unusual punishment here. It ain't easy, damn it. It's not easy, all right? And we have to heighten our level of sensitivity. Now, please don't get me wrong. I do understand on a serious note why the Seattle Seahawks needed to let him go. You got to send that message, because it's not just about you. You're endangering your teammates, and obviously, you know, you're endangering other lives, not just yourself. So it was incredibly selfish, immature, ill-advised, all those different things. And I understand. But that doesn't mean it wasn't understandable. I mean, we have to understand that these are very, very difficult and unparalleled circumstances that we are asking these young men, these professionals, to deal with. Some are more disciplined than others. And I'm here to tell you, because I've spoken to a few of them, even the most disciplined, even the veterans, even people that have been around, that's a lot to ask. I have said it before. We have our lovely host usually here, Charlie. You know she's the matriarch of the show, Molly Kim Rose. I ain't seen Jalen Rose with a frown on his face in 5 years. Not a frown. Damian and Max know what I'm talking about. Every time we see Jalen, hey, the brother's singing every day. He sings in the morning. He sings in the afternoon. That's a happy, happy brother. You know, I'm sorry, I haven't seen Mrs. Woody in a while, but you know what? I know that Damian Woody's always smiling. Max Kellerman, that brother, the brother got his three beautiful daughters. Every day, Max is up. The only time you don't see Max smiling is when he's leaning forward, reading something. Other than that, the minute he props up, hey, he's smiling. Why? Because he has someone. You tell Max he got to stay away for weeks at a time, it's going to be a problem. You tell Woody, Woody, how many children do you have, Woody? How many children you and your wonderful family? I mean, you got about 6-7 kids, Woody? I mean, come on.
Might be having another one right now, for all we know. The time you turn around, Damian Woody's got another kid.
All I'm trying to say is, Adam himself couldn't. I'm talking about the first man ever created who walked and talked with God himself, could not resist the temptations of a woman. We have to understand what we're asking these young men to do. And we have to be sensitive to that. So, again, he needed to be let go. And hopefully he's learned the error of his ways. But all I'm trying to say is, on a macro level, those NFL players, those hockey players, those NBA players in that bubble, we are asking an awful lot of them. And I want to sit up there and tip my cap to them for the sacrifices that they are making. It is cruel. It is clearly unusual. It's a whole lot to ask. And I applaud them for the discipline that they've exercised, because most of us couldn't do it.
Well, you know what the best
also,
part for me
when
is
you don't
the question
have something,
I really
you want
have.
It even more, right?
The question I
Hell
have
yeah.
is, he tried to sneak her in Seahawks gear, right? Like, so
Very
what
dumb.
Is this? Is this
Very
like
dumb.
The Little Rascals or one of those shows like Bugs Bunny or something where they try to get into the movie theater but they're too little, so you got three kids standing on top of their shoulders and stuff with a trench coat on? Like, how does that work? Or is she just, you know, football player size? I mean, I see you, no problem there. I'm just wondering, how did that happen? Did he really think he was going to smuggle her in and people were going to mistake her for a member of the Seattle Seahawks? Is that what I'm to understand? She came in full disguise like she was playing football? That's the best detail I've heard about any sports story in a long time.
Max, if you starving, a cracker will taste like a steak.
That's hilarious.
That Damian.
Let me try to bring a serious tone to this conversation, because Lord knows Stephen A. is just taking this thing completely off the rails here. And listen, my man, you were literally an undrafted free agent coming into the National Football League. Undrafted free agent. And we know during this pandemic, if there was any group of players that was going to have it tough, it was going to be rookies, particularly the kind that didn't get drafted. So not only did you put your future in jeopardy, but you also hurt the team by being selfish to try to bring a female into the hotel, and now you have paid for it with your job. Now, like Stephen A. said, I get it, I understand, times are hard, we're in a pandemic, but man, you're trying to make a football team. You've worked all your life to get to this point, and one night, trying to sneak you something has cost you a roster spot, a potential roster spot on a National Football League roster. So
how do you know it's one night, Damian?
You're right. You know what? You're right.
He got caught this time. Who knows?
Hey, listen, let me tell you something.
Hey.
That has brought down kingdoms. It is undefeated. But man, you gotta have a little bit of self-control to try to win yourself a job.
Listen, I totally agree with you. That's why he deserved to be cut. You got to exercise discipline, self-control. But excuse me, Father Time is undefeated. Mother Nature is undefeated. And that is undefeated. All I'm trying to say is, when the dust settles, don't get me wrong, he deserved his punishment. But when the dust settles, are we going to really sit here as men and say, we don't forgive you? We don't understand? That's all.
Hey, Stephen A. Stephen A.
Yeah, he got to sit at home for now. He got to sit home for now.
If he was a high draft pick, would we be having this? What kind of discussion would we be having right now?
Nope. You got a slap on the wrist.
Let me tell you something right now. I wouldn't say a slap on the wrist. What I do think would happen, though, he would have got exposed and told on so he could be ridiculed, and the public ridicule would dissuade him from making the same mistake in the future, because the Rona's the Rona. You understand what I'm saying? You can't have somebody spreading the Rona. But having said all of that, in the end, we're going to sit up here. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to forgive that
brother. Damien.
Because we understand.
Damien, is it fair to
say,
based on your point, that if you're going to do what he did, you must be a baller?
Oh, yeah, you got to have some clout. You can't be.
He's not a baller anymore.
Barely hanging on. You got to have some clout.
Even then, you can't do it. You can't do it. That's why you got to punish him. Can't do it. But we understand.
He's being punished. I think long term, we're going to forgive him, but the fact of the matter is, this guy learned the hard way, because, you know, if he had a job, he was successful making money. Think about how many more girls he would have gotten. So really, the damage he did was to himself. He's probably going to turn around and take a vow of celibacy. We'll see about that.
Charlie, yes. We've seen men.
Patience.
We've seen men lose millions all the time over things.
Oh, we've
like
seen
this.
It.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
As the COVID-19 pandemic enters month number 6 and protests demanding progress on social justice and civil rights issues continue, ESPN commissioned a survey to gauge the attitudes of sports fans. From August 7th through August 9th, the polling company Tidewatch conducted an online survey of 800 sports fans ages 18 and over, focusing on social justice and the return of sports. While fans are certainly happy to have sports back, only 58% surveyed believe that the NBA season will be completed. So, Max, what is your reaction to the fact that there's only 58% of sports fans who believe that the NBA season will finish?
I think that's shockingly low. The NBA is testing at a 0%. Like, they're getting zero positive COVID tests in that bubble. They've been doing beautifully. And it's because, as I've said from the beginning, Adam Silver was the adult in the room, soberly assessed the situation, gave everyone the medicine they didn't want to take, including players, you know, and everyone. But everyone took it. And as a result, I think it's likely. I don't think who knows, but it's looking good. You should be cautiously optimistic that the NBA will crown a champion. Stephen A., the fact that only 58%, I could understand if they said about baseball or football, it should be lower. But the NBA, that's bizarrely low to me.
Well, Max, I completely agree with you, not just on the NBA, but you know what? Shockingly, Max, I don't want you to faint. I'm going to actually give baseball a little bit of credit here as well. The National Hockey League has been exceptional as well. Let's give them credit, and the NBA. But where Major League Baseball gets some credit, we know initially what transpired with the Florida, with the Miami Marlins. Then we saw what happened with the St. Louis Cardinals. Ever since then, it's gotten considerably better. Now, Rob Manfred stepped in. There were some additional safety protocol measures that were implemented. But more importantly than anything else, you saw guys holding themselves more accountable. And if you see that, Max, and that is successful as well, that's going to go a long way towards propelling the continuation of sports starting and finishing throughout the United States of America, because we're going to see if the appropriate and necessary discipline is exercised, and obviously leadership is collaborating with that, then we're going to see a lot of success stories in the world of sports, and that's going to benefit us all.
Not to mention playoffs in a bubble, maybe. Right. That'll help.
Well, everyone, we got to wrap it up here, but we have a lot to look forward
to. You're right, Max.
Playoffs start on Monday in the NBA. Max, your radio show starts on Monday. Guys, it has been a lot of fun. Nice working with you. See you later.